It's so good to be back, church, because we have not been around for the last 2 months. We've been missing church. It shows that we have backslided, okay? Would you pray for us, okay? By God's mercies and grace, we are still around, by the way. I've been traveling around the country overseas speaking, okay, practically every week, and you'll continue to be like that, okay? So value your prayers, okay, for me in this. But allow me to make a few comments about the Datukship. Is that okay? All right, from my perspective, I felt that because it's like this, it's important for me to say a number of things. Five things I want to say, okay, about this. Okay, I think it's very, very important. Firstly, I think about this Datukship thing, one should not be looking for it or chasing after it. I think it is very, very important, okay, for all of us, as Christians particularly. All right, very, very important. The second thing is that there should be no money involved in it. Because sometimes, sadly, you know, this kind of things can be purchased. You can buy degrees, even PhDs as well, you know, which is a real, real tragedy, really. The third thing that I want to say is that there should be no strings attached in this whole thing. You know, sometimes awards are given to get you to toe the line or to zip your mouth, that kind of thing, which is, I think, crazy, you know. So I think it is very important, you and I, particularly as Christians, okay, must know our position, our stand about various things, and continue to be faithful to what God has called us. Because why? We are servants of God and not servants of man. Hello? Amen. Listen. The fourth thing is that I think once you deserve it, okay, I think it's very, very important for us in this. One should have made a contribution either to the state or the nation, then it becomes meaningful, I think, for something like this. So when this award was proposed to me, I say no to it, and the person representing Penang State Government say yes. I say no, yes, no, yes, no. It went on for quite a while. He says no. You have made a contribution to the nation, not just to your church of thousands of people, but to the nation, but also internationally as well. You are well known, okay? Right, and so that's what it is, okay? Then I think when it is given, because of one's contribution either to the state or to the nation, it becomes meaningful. Like, for example, Pastor Dato' Key, as you know, he made a national contribution to our nation as Director General of the Chemistry Department of Malaysia, okay, doing fantastic things in our land. So we thank God for that, okay? The final thing, fifth and final thing I want to say is that please, for goodness sake, don't call me Dato', okay? Because if you do, you get minus marks. If you call me the way you normally call me, either Pastor Daniel or better to just simply Daniel, you get extra brownie points, okay? Really, really. But let me add on the other thing. It is in the whole process of investiture, then I realize, my goodness, there's a burden to carry. Why is it? Because officially, whether it's on print, all right, bulletin, website, as well as call cards and everything, your Datukship must appear. Not only that, official functions, you must be addressed accordingly. It must appear as well. Wow, my goodness, a heavy burden to carry, I thought to myself, you know. But the reason is this, because the state has honored you, you must also honor them in return. Because otherwise, the state or the governor or the sultan will take exception to it, okay? And that's the reality of it all. But otherwise, please, please, okay, call me the way you normally call me. Is that okay? All right, I will love you like crazy, okay? Is that right? Okay, but friends, I think more importantly, who we are is not determined by the number of characters behind our name or before our name. Who we are is determined by the content of our heart, okay? Not by the character of our names before or after, by the content of our heart, and that's important. And that's what church, you know, you and I should be working for, what is on us on the inside, not what we have on the outside. Can a good amen for that? So that by God's grace, we will be the kind of person that God wants us to be just more and more. Amen, isn't it? I think that's critical and important for all of us. Amen, is that okay? All right, okay, let's come to the Word of God. I like this series that Pastor Chris has put together. He entitled this as Legacy Makers. How many of us, we want to be legacy makers? Leave something wonderful and good behind. Can I see your hands? Okay, I would expect every hand to go up, isn't it? Now we've come to chapter 9 of Joshua now in a whole area involving God in decision making. Involving God in decision making. And so when we read Joshua chapter 9, certain portions of this passage of scripture, all right, what do we stand? Because as always in the life of DMC, we stand in reading God's word because we're going to honor the word of God. But we're also making a proclamation, friends, as we read the word of God aloud, not a proclamation, secondly, okay, proclaiming the truth of God, established truth of God on earth as it is in heaven. And finally, we're going to build faith, isn't it? We're going to build faith in us, where faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God aloud. Amen. So Joshua chapter 9, verses 1 to 6. Okay, first, together, church. Now, when all the kings west of the Jordan heard about all these things, those in a hill country, in the western foothills, and along the entire coast of the great sea as far as Lebanon, the kings of the Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, they came together to make war against Joshua and Israel. However, when the people of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they resorted to a ruse. They went as a delegation whose donkeys were loaded with worn-out sacks and old wineskins, cracked and mended. The men put worn and patched sandals on their feet and wore old clothes. All the bread of the food supply was dry and moldy. Then they went to Joshua in a camp at Gilgal and said to him and the men of Israel, "We have come from a distant country. Make a treaty with us." The men of Israel sampled the provisions but did not inquire of the Lord. Then Joshua made a treaty of peace with them to let them live, and the leaders of the assembly ratified it by oath. 3 days after they made the treaty with the Gibeonites, the Israelites heard that there were neighbors living near them. So the Israelites set out and on the third day came to the cities, Gibeon, Kephira, Beeroth, and Kiriath-Jearim. But the Israelites did not attack them because the leaders of the assembly had sworn an oath to them by the Lord, the God of Israel. The whole assembly grumbled against the leaders, but all the leaders answered, "We have given up our oath by the Lord, the God of Israel, and we cannot touch them now. This is what we will do to them. We will let them live, so that wrath will not fall on us for breaking the oath we swore to them." They continued, "Let them live, but let them be woodcutters and water carriers for the entire community." So the leaders' promise to them was kept. Our Father, we pray by your Spirit, you take this word and speak and challenge us and cause us to respond. Oh God, we pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Take your seats. Amen. Well, friends, you know, we are constantly involved in making decisions in our lives, listen. All right? It is a daily affair, okay, that we make decisions. Like, for example, what shall we eat after the worship celebration here? How many of you have been thinking about it right now? Let me see your hands. Well, very honest people. God bless you, okay, isn't it? We're making decisions all the time, isn't it? Now, how many of us, generally, we make fairly good decisions? You have fairly good decisions. Oh, good, good, fantastic, wonderful. So how many of us, okay, don't make very good decisions? See your hands, okay? How many of us always make wrong decisions? Don't put up your hands, all right? Okay, now we know that decision-making is something that is real, something, you know, that we wrestle with, and sometimes we wrestle with every day, and sometimes, friends, can I say, unnecessarily. There are four kinds of decisions that we make in our lives, okay? What are the four decisions we make in our life? Okay, firstly, friends, what I call ordinary and mundane decisions, all right? Just very ordinary decisions, like just what I said, okay? What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? Where should I go for lunch afterwards? You see, these are ordinary, mundane decisions we make from day to day, okay? But the second, all right, category of decisions are what I call important and strategic, isn't it? They're important, not important, but strategic as well. And so, for example, what kind of work should I take up? Where should I live? Where should I live? Okay, and also, for example, okay, should I take on, okay, that kind of role, that kind of responsibility in the life of the church or not? You see, these are important and strategic decisions that we make, okay, and sometimes it comes again and again in our hearts, in our lives like this. Now, another kind of decision that we make is also serious, but also critical, isn't it? Serious and critical. Like, for example, whom shall I marry? Hello? Very serious decision. Not only serious, it is critical, isn't it? Friends, you know the difference in the wonderful English language between, okay, finish and complete? You know the difference between finish and complete? In a case, okay, finish and complete, if you marry the right one, you are complete. If you marry the wrong one, you are finished. And if the right one sees you with the wrong one, you are completely finished. We know marriage, isn't it? It's a serious and critical decision that we make in our lives. Or like, for example, if you are struck with cancer, to see a doctor or not to see a doctor, it is a serious, okay, but also, okay, a critical decision, isn't it? Because your life is at stake like this. Not only, friends, that the decision we make is ordinary and mundane, important, strategic, serious, and critical, there's one other form of decision-making whereby, not only, friends, it is serious, but it's got eternal consequences. For example, to accept the Lord Jesus Christ or not to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a very serious decision. But friends, it's a decision that has consequences forever and ever. It's to do with our life, our future as a whole like this. Now, friends, you know, in general, when we make decisions as to ordinary and mundane decisions, very ordinary decisions like what shall I eat, what shall I wear, and so on and so forth, friends, this kind of decision that we make from day to day, ordinary, mundane, there is no need to fast and pray. Just make love, right? When there's a wonderful cup of water here, I do the fast and pray, Lord, should I take it or not? Should I drink this or not afterwards, that kind of thing, okay? Use our common sense, you see. Use our common human judgment to make decisions like this. But friends, it is those, the second, third, and the fourth, okay, category. The important, the strategic, the serious, and critical, as well as those serious with eternal consequences. We must, friends, church, engage God. Bring God into the picture. This is very, very important for all of us like this. But there's one other category, friends, can I say, about decision-making that I call, okay, routine in our life. What do I mean by routine, all right, in our lives that we don't have to unnecessarily be occupied with decision-making? See, friends, some decisions should be parked into a routine category. Let me repeat. Some decision-making should be parked into a routine category. Like what? For example, daily devotions, isn't it? Your daily devotion parked into routine category. Don't, when you wake up in the morning, Lord, shall I do devotion this morning or not? You just do it. Hello, isn't it? All right, it's part of the routine. Another one is sleeping time as well. Park it as a routine, isn't it? Don't have to, I mean, come to the evening, fast and pray, Lord, what time shall I say? 10 p.m. or 2 a.m.? No, park into your routine, isn't it? Work a certain routine into your life so that what happens is consistency and regularity in the way you live your life, isn't it? Another area is to do with going to a church, isn't it? Park is another routine. That every Saturday, if you come to church at 5 p.m., it's understood, rain or sunshine, you come. Or you come on a Sunday morning, every 10 o'clock, 10 a.m. in the morning, you just come. You see, you don't have to worry. You don't have to think and pray. And that kind of, Lord, shall I go to church? You just go, isn't it? Very, very important for all of us in this. Am I right? Isn't it? Like this young man who's a pastor, that kind of thing. One day, what happens is he didn't want to wake up Sunday morning, okay, to go to church. And the mother was furious, okay, and said, how can you not go to church? Okay, and he told the mother, give me two reasons why I should go to church. Well, he says, today is Sunday. That's why you're going to go to church. The second reason is because you're a pastor of the church. Some crazy people around, isn't it? They need some probing and some kicking and hitting around before they can respond and do what we should try. Park into routine, friends, about church going. One final area is to do exercise. Park it in the routine that you and I must do exercise regularly. And all those who do it say, my goodness, oh, I'm impressed, okay. Listen, park it as a routine so that you do it naturally, automatically, that you don't have to just every week keep on planning, when should I do my exercise, or how should I do my exercise. Just park into it, friends, so that when you park certain things into routine, it saves a lot of headache about decision-making. Isn't unnecessarily, friends. But the rest of them, friends, church, can I say, involve God in decision-making. But friends, you know, no matter how mature we are, there is no guarantee in our decision-making that we always make right decisions. Let me repeat. No matter how mature we are, there is no guarantee that in our decision-making, we will always make right decision. And here's a perfect example in Joshua chapter 9 of Joshua himself about how he made decision, how he actually made sadly wrong decision in this case like this. But firstly, the background. What is the background, okay, to Joshua's decision-making like this? Firstly, friends, we notice River Jordan had been dried up, and also the cities of Jericho and Ai has been taken, isn't it? In Joshua chapters 3 and 4, and then also chapter 6 and 8, okay, as we have looked at, okay, in the last few weeks like this. Not only that, friends, you know, we find that the kings west of the Jordan River, they were filled with fear, isn't it? Because what they heard about what God did. Like, for example, God dried up River Jordan so that God's people, you just cross along like this, isn't it? It is scary. All right, how they could cross River Jordan at that point of time, if you read very carefully in context, River Jordan was actually flooded. And even in the midst of flood, God's people could just go across it because God himself dried River Jordan like this. And so what happens? All right, this is a record for us in Joshua chapter 5, verse 1. Let's read together, church. Now when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until it crossed over, their hearts melted and no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. When they heard this awesome God at work on behalf of the Israelites, what happens to the kings west of the Jordan? They were filled with fear. And yet, sadly, friends, you know, even when they were filled with fear, they still came and attacked Joshua and the people of God. And so this is what we read, Joshua chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Let's read again together, okay? Now, when all the kings west of the Jordan heard about these things, those in a hill country, in the western foothills, and along the entire coast of the Great Sea, as far as Lebanon, the kings of the Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, Parasites, and Termites. They came together to make war. Isn't it crazy? In spite of all that they heard, they were still trying to fight against Joshua and the people of God like this. But you know, friends, there is another group of people. They are smarter than that. These are the Gibeonites, you see. The Gibeonites realized they will stand no chance against Joshua and the people of God. So they concocted a plan to try to trick Joshua like this. And this is verses 3 to 6, okay, that we read. Let's read again together, church, together. However, people of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai. They resorted to a ruse. They went as a delegation whose donkeys were loaded with worn-out sacks and old wineskins, cracked and mended. The men put worn and patched sandals on their feet and wore old clothes. All the bread of the food supply was dry and moldy. Then they went to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal and said to him and the men of Israel, "We have come from a distant country. Make a treaty with us." See how smart, how clever. They disguise themselves to show that they have come from a faraway country because they heard the reputation of Joshua and the people of God. And so far, far away, all right, they try to disguise themselves and say, well, they have come from a faraway country. Why? Because they know they will stand no chance when Joshua and the people of God will come or get towards them like this. So therefore, they try to give a picture that we're from far, far away country, okay? We want to really make treaty. We want to make treaty of peace with you, all right? So that we will not be wiped out or eliminated like this. But really, friends, as we all know, they're out to deceive, okay, Joshua and the people of God. And so what is the mistake that we see here? Okay, mistake that we see here is that Joshua himself did not inquire from God, isn't it? Verses 14 and 15. Okay, let's read together again. The men of Israel sampled the provisions, but did not inquire of the Lord. Then Joshua made a treaty of peace with them to let them live, and the leaders of the assembly ratified it by oath. They sampled the provisions, but did not check with God, isn't it? And that's why, friends, you know, it is important, isn't it, to always bring God into the picture in our decision-making. To check it out with God, to pray, isn't it? And to ask God, really, Lord, what is your heart? What is your mind? What is your will? What is your purpose in all this? In especially important, critical, strategic decisions we make for our lives, isn't it? Very, very important for every one of us like this. And so, friends, can I suggest, how can we therefore be involved in making decisions that are not only good, but God-honoring? Can I suggest six areas, okay, throw in as many as possible, six areas, okay, for us to think about decision-making so that by the grace of God we pray, okay, increasingly we'll make good, wise, and great decisions, okay, that'll be in line with the God's purpose and God's will for our lives, okay? What are they? Firstly, friends, through prayer and seeking the face of God. Listen, very important, take time with God, pray, don't be in a hurry, all right? If God has not spoken, take time, isn't it? Make time for God. Seek His face like this. And this is what we read of, right? King David himself, right? Psalm 63, verses 1 and 2. Let's read together. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in a sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. See the heart of David, king himself, seeking, longing, thirsting after God, isn't it? Wanting to know God's heart and God's mind, okay, about the way forward, about what to do, about the kind of decision to make. And amazingly, in verse 2, David says, I've seen you in your sanctuary and beheld your power and the glory. And friends, it's about this God we have, a God not of silence, but a God of revelation. He's a God who wants to make himself known, who wants to reveal. That's the kind of God we have, friends. So when you seek him, the Bible tells us we'll find him. Hello, isn't it? When you seek me and seek me with all your heart, you shall find me. And that's the testimony and the truth again and again of Scripture for all of us, isn't it? Even for people, friends, can I say? Even for people who are hindered in seeking God. Like, for people from the majority faith here in this country. Even when all kinds of restrictions and laws are placed against him, you know what? Many of these would seek after God. And God would, time and again, friends, reveal himself to them in dreams, visions, and revelations. And that's why tons of people come to faith in Christ from that kind of background all over the world, including Malaysia. That's the reality. Why? Because it's God. He wants to make himself known. Can a good amen for that? Isn't it? Make time for him. You'll be surprised. You'll be shocked. And you can just simply YouTube. There are tons of testimonies about how people from that kind of background come to faith in Christ. And there are many, many books available that you can read. How amazingly, friends, God revealed himself. Why? Because our God is a speaking God. Can a good amen for that? That's the first thing, friends. Make time. Seek his face. God will make himself known. God reveal his will to you, his will to me like this, isn't it? The second thing is to the Word of God, to the Bible itself. What does it say to us? Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Oh, sorry, verses 12 and 13 together, church. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Everything is laid bare. God will judge the attitudes and intentions of our heart, the motive of our heart, friends. And that's what the Word of God would do, isn't it? And so take time to know the Word of God because, friends, God will speak to us from his Word as God will speak to us directly as well, like this, friends. And so that's, church, can I say, the privilege of you and I, that this book here, friends, is not a dead book. This book is a living book. This book is the Word of God revealed, all right, through this book, his heart and mind for all of us. When you take time with this book, friends, God will make himself known again and again, like this for all of us. Isn't it? And so that's why, church, as you know, in the life of DMC, we always encourage, strongly urge every one of us to take time with the Word of God every day. Every day. Not just certain days, okay, but every day of our life. And that's very, very important. Why? Because it's God who wants to speak to us, encourage us, challenge us, and at times convict us as well about things that are inappropriate, things that are not right like this, isn't it? And so, friends, the second way to seek the heart, mind of God is to know the Word of God, okay? Because out of that, you begin to know the will of God for all of us in our lives. The third area is through the voice of God or the impression he puts on our hearts, okay? Why? Because the context here that I'm quoting, 1 Samuel chapter 3, it's one whereby little Samuel, he was interned to this old priest by the name of Eli. And so what happens is God calls Samuel, all right, in the midst of the night like this, okay? God called him, all right? And when God called him, he ran to Eli and said to Eli, you called me? Eli said, no, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep. And God called a second time. He ran to Eli, you called me? No, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep. Third time, okay? Again, God called. He ran to Eli and said, you called me? No, I didn't call you. It was then only, friends, Eli realized probably it's God who is calling him. Friends, you know, it's also a reminder, also a challenge and a warning to all of us that we could be many years in our walk in a Christian faith, a bit like Eli, like this, and yet we could be insensitive to God, like Eli. What a tragedy, isn't it? So, friends, the number of years as a Christian is no guarantee we continue to be sensitive to God, isn't it? We need to continue to check our heart. This is very, very important. It is only after the third time that Eli realizes, my goodness, it could be God calling you. And so this is what we read off like this, all right? 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10. Let's read together. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. How many of you heard God calling your name? See your hands. Okay, a few of you. How many of you have God calling your name twice? See your hands. Okay, two of you, three of you as well. You know, friends, if God calls you once, fantastic. But if you call your name twice, you're in deep trouble. It is like Samuel. You know this, friends, actually, in the Bible, all right? In the Bible, there are a few occasions where names of people are called twice. Who are they? For example, Abraham, isn't it? When he was offering Isaac as a sacrifice, just before he was going to stab the son and kill him, what happens? Offering up as a sacrifice. Voice of God call. All right, Abraham, Abraham, isn't it? Stop. I've seen your heart. Stop. Don't do it, isn't it? Because I will provide another sacrifice for you like this. God saw the heart of Abraham. Another time, when was this? For example, Moses as well, isn't it? Remember when Moses was standing before the burning bush, God spoke and said, Moses, Moses, for the ground you are standing is holy ground, isn't it? All right? There are many other instances in the Old Testament. Flip over to the New Testament. In the New Testament, for example, Saul, who became the great apostle Paul, you know, his name was called twice by Jesus from heaven in Acts chapter 9, isn't it? As Saul was going to Damascus to try to arrest Christians and throw them all into prison before his conversion days, what happens? All right, as he was going to Damascus, a voice from heaven said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And you know this, friends, as a result, Saul's life turned around. Another occasion, amongst other occasions, is Peter, if you remember. All right, Peter was also called twice, isn't it? Why? Because we find that Peter was trying to do everything possible to get close to Jesus and to promise Jesus he will follow him all the way to the end, that kind of thing. And you know what Jesus said to Peter? Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Satan would want to sift you, to have you and sift you, but I pray for you so that when you turn, okay, strengthen the brothers. Amen? Hey, why you look like at me like that? Hey, friends, are you and I using the same Bible? Are we the same Bible or not? Okay? Okay, let me prove to you, just in case you think I'm preaching heresy. It's okay, make sure we're the same Bible. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 22, all right? Luke 22, just to make sure that we are on the same page together. Okay, this is what it is, okay, for us. Luke 22, okay, and in verse 31, all right? Luke 22, 31, where Jesus said to Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. When you turn back, strengthen the brothers. Friends, you know, specific prayer of Jesus, and that's why the Apostle Peter became the leading, all right, leader of the early church as a result of Jesus, like this, his prayer, all right, and his help in a process like this for all of us. And so, friends, when God calls you twice, okay, it is a serious matter. You know that? In fact, I had an experience. I was in London, okay, getting myself ready, staying in a friend's house, and I was alone by myself because these two friends of mine, medical doctors, have gone to work. I was alone in a room by myself, just preparing myself, getting ready, and then I heard my name called twice. Daniel, Daniel. I looked around. Nobody around. I looked again. Surely, I'm very clear, somebody called me. But you know what? I was not as smart as Samuel. I did not say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Okay, will you pray for me so that I'll be more sensitive to the Lord? Is it okay? All right, very important, boy, because when you respond to God as he calls us, as he speaks to us, again, good amen for that. See, friends, sometimes God will speak to us through a clear, audible voice. At other times, God speaks to us by what? By putting impression on our heart. Putting impression on. How many of you, you felt that God is speaking to you by just a heavy impression about something? Any one of you, right? Many of us, isn't it? A strong impression of heart, and you know that you know God is speaking to you. Why? Because God is saying to you something. It could be, friends, you know, on one hand, a conviction in your life about something that you have done wrong, isn't it? On the other hand, it could be a confirmation to your heart that something you've done is right, isn't it? So, when the impression comes, it could be a conviction about wrong things, or it could be a confirmation about right things like this. So, friends, when there's impression in your heart that God puts, listen to him. Respond to him, very, very important, isn't it? Now, there's many, many times God impresses on my heart about things, about situations, but also about people. And so sometimes when God impresses upon my heart names of people that I start praying. You know why? Because when God impresses on my heart, because I've not seen them in church for a long time, haven't shaken their hands for a long time. And so I start praying for them. And sure enough, every time when I pray for them, 90% of the time, the next Sunday they appear in church. Say to your neighbor, he might be talking about you. No. That's amazing. All right, in my heart I rejoice. Of course, I don't tell that guy, hey, you know, you're the answer to my prayer. You're in serious trouble. You better come every week now, all right? But friends, you know, this is a good God, isn't it? Who wants to speak to us, who wants to lay burdens on all our hearts. Why? Because he wants all of us to walk right before the Lord. Can a good amen for that? Isn't it? So it could be impression of heart. It could be a voice of God that's speaking to us like this. Fourthly, friends, through circumstances and or events that God will orchestrate himself. God himself will lead, will guide, will direct it. So that in the process, friends, you know that God is really speaking to you. Okay, in your decision making. Good example, Acts chapter 16, verses 6 to 10. Church, let's read together. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went on to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Isn't it amazing? We find that God would stop them, right? Okay, so that they would not go into Bithynia. Isn't it? Why? Because God would orchestrate, redirect it so that they would see a vision, come over to help us, the Macedonian call, so-called. Friends, that was the start of the gospel after they're going across Europe, you know that, and over to America, and then after they went around the world to Asia, eventually to all of us like this. All right, amazingly, isn't it, when someone is obedient, all right, to God in that matter. You know, friends, how does it work out like this in terms of circumstances and events that God will orchestrate? You know, sometimes God will open doors and shut doors. And so, for example, in a certain job that you want, you really wanted it, you apply that craze, you do everything that is possible, and you find that the job wasn't offered to you. It's like this brother, for example, who applied for this position in an IT company. So he went for the interview, submitted his wonderful CV and that kind of thing. And so the guy who was interviewing looked through the CV and that kind of, and got very, very interested about his CV. Why? Because he puts down, for example, he'd gone for a mission trip to Cambodia, to Thailand, and so forth. He is also a cell leader and so many things. So he started asking, what do you mean by being a cell leader? What do you mean by mission trip? And went on and on and on, asking all kinds of things. And it was a wonderful interview. He had a great experience. It was only at the end of the interview that the interviewer told him, "I'm also from DUMC. Wow. He said, "God, thank you so much. Sure have it. Sure get it one. Sure get it one." You know what? He did not get it. But friends, if God shuts that door, God will open other doors. Hello? We must believe that God will open a better door for us. In spite of that guy from DUMC, he needs prayer. No. Isn't it? We must believe God, isn't it? He will open other doors and bigger and better doors for us. I was just talking right just now. Yesterday, Kien Long is back here. Okay, for a break from Chiang Mai, Thailand. He's one of our missionaries there. Okay, and I just got an email from him just yesterday to say that, you know, they applied for a lease of that wonderful bungalow house that belongs to the hospital in Chiang Mai that they are working nearby, for a lease of that property so they can use it to continue to be available for sick people who have been attended to in the hospital. They can come and stay. Relatives can come and stay. And we've been doing for the last 7 years or more now, okay? And so they just apply hospital. "I'm doing good, helping your patients who have come and the family members, isn't it?" And here, you know what happens? The hospital turned down, refused to give them that bungalow house that they're not using at all. I said, yet to write a reply to him to tell and encourage Kien Long and Su Fong, be encouraged. If God shuts that door, He got something better for you. Amen. Listen, as Christians, we must know and believe this God of ours is a great and a wonderful God. Can you good amen for that? Isn't it? Very, very important for all of us like this. Therefore, fifthly, friends, God will speak to us through His creation or people around us, isn't it? All right? He will speak to us in different manner and form, even through His creation. In what manner? This is what we read of in Matthew chapter 6, verses 26 to 29. Church, let's read together. "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, all his splendor, was dressed like one of this," isn't it? And so Jesus is asking us to consider his creation. Look at the birds of the air, isn't it? They don't sow, don't reap, whatever. And there's no worries about them. And this is exactly what happens. He spoke to someone. Because he was so worried about life. He's so worried about the future, so worried about so many things. Then one day he looked at the birds and he read this passage of scripture. My goodness, in the case of birds, they have no worries at all, in spite they've got bird brains. Isn't that amazing? Why are you smart people where you worry like crazy? Why are you worry unnecessarily like this, isn't it? And it's like, for example, okay, the last sentence, and why do you worry about clothes? Isn't it? What happens sometimes, we open out our lovely, wonderful wardrobe, look into all our clothes, and we say, ah, yeah, nothing to wear. For those who are laughing, you know, it's a confession, isn't it? How many of you like that? See your hands. Isn't it? Thank you for your honesty. Look at it. My goodness, nothing to wear. Isn't it? How sad. It's like the tons of clothes that are there. Okay, like this. All right, that's why I tell you, know, it's so good living in Malaysia. Can you put amen for that? Amen. So very good living in Malaysia, unlike living in the West. Okay, isn't it? Why? Because if you live in the West, there is summer wear and winter wear and autumn wear and spring wear. Amen. Isn't it? Here in Malaysia, so easy, isn't it? Why? Because one wear, same wear, cheap wear. Isn't it? Why waste all the money in all these kind of wares unnecessarily, isn't it? So say to your neighbor, live in Malaysia lah. Isn't it? What a wonderful country, isn't it? With lovely food, isn't it? And everything else provided for us like this. And so friends, you know, it is so important, isn't it? That sometimes we're unnecessarily harassed. Look at things around. Look at God's creation. There's so much serenity and harmony there. Why am I so disturbed on the inside? Isn't it? It could also be sometimes God speaking to us through someone. You know? And I've got people whom I know when they say to me something, I knew it's God speaking to me. Many times. Without telling them, I knew in my heart God is speaking to me. Friends, it is very important. It has got nothing to do with your maturity. Although increasingly, as we grow in greater maturity, we must really discern the heart and mind of God better and better. Can good amen for that? But even if you are really mature, just be open to allow people to speak into your life. Amen? And I got many, many times speakers speaking to my life that I knew. It is God now speaking to me, and I better listen. Amen? Be humble. Can you hear? Amen, isn't it? And sometimes, you know, when God cannot get through at all, you know what God will do? God will even use a donkey to speak to you like Balaam. Hello? Isn't it? God can use anything to speak to us, you know, when we are so dumb like this, isn't it, friends? So train our heart. Don't be proud. Be humble. Be open. Be listening. Okay? And there's one more thing, finally. What is the final thing? By seeking the wisdom of one or more spiritual, mature, wise, and discerning people. Go and talk to some people who are wise, discerning, and mature. Isn't it? And there are many in DUMC. Our elders, for example, together with their wives. Our pastors, our staff team, okay, our cell leaders together with their spouses, our zone leaders, okay, and the ministry heads. We've got tons of people here, friends, who are wise, who are discerning, who can help us, friends, you know, in our journey of faith, in our decision-making. Seek them out, friends, for your own good. In the early days of DMC, Doris and I were involved in premarital counseling, preparing couples for marriage. And there's one couple that came to us for premarital counseling. After two sessions, I said to both of them, I think you need to postpone your marriage at least 1 year later. At least 1 year later. I said, you know why? Because in the very fundamentals of life and decision-making, you are so seriously disagreed. You seriously cannot agree with each other. If you go ahead with the marriage, you are asking for serious trouble. And I thank God they listened to us and they postponed it at least 1 year down the road. But friends, can I also say, there are couples and individuals that we have talked to, I have talked to, that after my counsel, sadly, they refuse to follow. They choose their own way. And friends, can I say, there are many times, honestly, my heart is broken. My heart is broken. Why? Because I really know they are headed for trouble if they choose to go that direction. And sometimes I grieve. I pray and I grieve and cry. Lord, have mercy. Lord, shake some sense to that person or persons so they come right around and recognize that we are here for one another's good. We are here for the best of one another. Hello? Isn't it? That's our purpose here as pastors, as leaders of the church. We are here to help so that together we journey we walk right, we walk pleasing before God. So we honor God in the process like this. Can a good amen for that, isn't it? Very, very important. We're never here to stifle people. Never here, friends, to create, you know, confusion and problems. We are here to help you and grow in a greater and better way. Can a good amen for that? That's why, friends, if you hang on and stay on in UMC, I guarantee you, you'll grow up to be powerful and fantastic. You'll make a huge influence in the marketplace. I guarantee you, for I've seen this happening. I've seen this happening and happening with our children, those of us who are elders, our kids live to grow up here. They're all in their 30s or mid-30s and are coming to 40 years old. And we've seen them doing phenomenally well out in the marketplace. Why? Because they listen to our wisdom and our counsel, and I plead with you, church. Listen, talk to some spiritually wise, mature, discerning people. Hear them out before you make decisions. Why? Because they're there for your good. Amen. Amen. Because you're such a good audience, okay? Let me call you tambah lagi for all of you. Is it okay? One last bit, okay? About God's purpose in our decision making. It's not in our notes, okay? But let me add this on, okay, for all of you to just help you with it. Now, what is God's purpose? You know, friends, God can make all of us to become machines and automatons, whereby we don't have to use our mind. Boom, boom, boom. God programs us. We all make decisions. All is 100% correct. Always one way, God's way, that is. You know, God has not made us machines, automatons, all right? God has made us human beings. And because we're human beings, God entrusted to us, friends, the responsibility of decision-making, because that's what being a human is all about, isn't it? That's what liberty and freedom is all about. That being a human being, we're given the right and the responsibility of making decisions on our own. But as God gives us that right to make a decision, He holds us accountable. He holds us accountable now for the kind of decision we make. And it's like that. That's why we're not machines, isn't it? All right? That God has programmed us, we only make decisions one way. We're not. We're human beings, isn't it? And that's why, for example, God has given us a right to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or to reject Him. Even though He made us, He's got every right. He doesn't impose, He doesn't force it. He gives it to us, all right, and thus being a human is all about like this. But why is it that God wants to give us, all right, that decision-making responsibility? What is God's purpose behind it? Okay, the context here, very often we skip this passage of Scripture, Judges chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Let's read together, friends. These are the nations the Lord left to test all those Israelites who had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan. He did this only to teach warfare descendants of the Israelites who had not previous battle experience. The five rulers of the Philistines, all the Canaanites, the Sidonians, and the Hivites living in the Lebanon mountains from Mount Baal Hermon to Lemoth Hamath. They were left to test the Israelites to see whether they would obey the Lord's commands which He had given their forefathers. You notice, friends? God allowed these to test the Israelites to see whether they obey God's commands. Isn't it? So what is God's purpose in giving us the responsibility and the right about decision-making? Here in verse 4, it is to teach obedience, okay? Again, they were left to test the Israelites to see whether they will obey the Lord's commands which are given the forefathers to Moses. Basically that, isn't it? God wants to teach obedience in all of us. And friends, when we live an obedient life, we'll live increasingly powerful lives, and all God's people say, isn't it? And what is obedience, friends? At the heart of it, in one word, obedience is simply faithfulness. God wants us to be faithful people, committed to Him, honor Him, live, okay, to the glory of His name. And that's what God's desire is. In us, friends, at the heart of decision-making, God is trying to teach us faithfulness, and in the process, as a result, fruitfulness, friends. That's God's heart at the end. He wants us to live fruitful lives, abundant lives, prosperous lives. But before that can take place, friends, He wants us to live faithful lives. Amen. You follow, friends? And that's God's purpose for us. He wants to bless us out of our socks, okay, really, and make us really abundant and wonderful. But before that takes place, faithfulness comes in for all of us. It's very, very important for all of us like this. Allow me to close with this. I'm normally very hesitant to talk about something like this. You notice from the pulpit, I'm very hesitant to talk about myself or my family. All right? I rarely, rarely do this. Allow me to say in this instance, then you know where I'm coming from. Is it okay? All right, very, very important, okay, for us in this. About the whole area of faithfulness. I remember as a young kid, Center 4, Center 5. You see, I only became a Christian at age 21, so I wasn't a Christian. Okay? And I would hang around amongst my friends and play in one particular friend's home that I would go and play regularly. Center 4, center 5. And that weekend, that family decided to do a spring cleaning, cleaning up the whole house, clean up the house, wash the house and everything else. And I was there in the house. And so I volunteered to participate in it. I was given a role, all right, to clean and to wash the upstairs, to scrub the floor, the whole huge upstairs floor. I was there given the responsibility to scrub. Friends, you know, I was there the whole day alone by myself, just scrubbing and scrubbing and scrubbing. I've not told anybody yet, not even my mother. But now I tell you, lah. Is it okay? All right. Probably if I tell my mother, my saw child, or kind of, why you like, do this kind of stuff? Other come and clean our house, or I clean someone else's house. You know what I mean? But I just quietly did that. And there are tons of other instances I can quote, but I won't quote, okay? But it's just one example I'm trying to say. The Bible reminds us, he who is faithful in little shall be faithful in much. Hello, are you there? He who is faithful in little things shall be faithful in much. So the emphasis is not much. The emphasis in faithfulness on the little. Amen. God cannot trust us with much until unless we've proven to be faithful in little. This is always a biblical and God's principle for all of us. Can you get an amen for that? Isn't it? And that's what it is. And that's what over the years, over the decades, I've seen God's faithfulness in the process, fruitfulness, really. I stand amazed. I marvel at the grace of God like this. So that nowadays, when I go around the country, go around the world, everybody appreciates me. I said, well, you're just wonderful. We want you to come, speak to us, be our advisor, be our consultant, and so on, all over the place. Okay, like this. I just came back from Singapore last week, all right, speaking to one of the biggest organizations, all right, in Singapore, mentoring the top 20 executives. And they want me to go back 3 times a month. And now they say, please do it with our next level of managers. And I also got invited, right, for example, by one of the largest public listed companies in Malaysia. Pastor, can you come and speak, okay, to all my managers, about 250 of them, okay, annual function in Kota Kinabalu in a wonderful resort. Come and speak to all of us, okay, 250 managers. And some of these are Malays. Can you come and speak? And it's just amazing how God has just open all these things up that practically every week I'm speaking somewhere around the country overseas. And that's what has happened. That's why you don't see me very often here, not because I'm a backslider. Okay? Pray for me. Is that all right? But this is what I'm going to drive home. That's not the main thing. This is what I'm going to drive home. That I've seen God's mercies and grace, been faithful, God in a process, bless me, and I've seen fruitfulness in a process like this. But friends, can I say, sometimes when we are like this, God enables us to grow in greater and greater fruitfulness. We cannot assume we will always be fruitful forever. We cannot assume now everything is okay. Now you're coasting all the way back and can only become greater and better. Never assume that, friends. No one, including me, must assume that. And this is where I'm coming to, friends. There are 6 P's we all must guard. 6 P's we all must guard. If you hear me in DMC long enough, you have heard me say this. But let me repeat, it's okay? For all of us. What are the 6 P's all of us must guard, including myself? The first P, the whole area of power. Misusing our power. It could also be in the church, as is in companies outside. As is sometimes in families as well. The father misusing his power as a father. Sadly, isn't it? Second P, position. Misusing our position. Not only abusing our power, but misusing our position as well. Isn't it? Whatever positions we have, whether outside, even in the context of the church, we can misuse our position. And it's a real tragedy when we do so like this. We become oppressive, we become dogmatic, we push and dumb everybody down like this. And sometimes it happens like this. Okay? Like this group senior businessmen that I'm mentoring right now. Okay? And one of them, the CFO of a huge public listed company here in Malaysia, he was just removed from office. Why? Because the CEO is involved in a take. And as CFO, as a Christian assistant, I cannot agree with it. He's just removed. And I've journeyed with him right now, praying with him. Don't worry. God will vindicate you at the end. Never mind if you lose a job. Paid extremely well. Never mind. God will be there for you because you're faithful. Amen. Isn't it? We must have faith to believe that. So friends, not worth it. Not just don't do it, abusing our power, misusing our position. The third P is a whole area of pride. Pride. Thinking we'll never do wrong anymore. None of us, including myself, must ever think, I'm okay now. Nobody is okay. Can I get an amen for that? Isn't it? All right? The fourth P is a whole area of passion. Our passion under control. Our feelings, emotions under control. Isn't it? All right? That is not uncommon sometimes to see, sadly, CEOs of companies having mistresses on the side. Isn't it? All right? All kinds of people having all kinds of stuff on the side, which is a real, real tragedy that we see it like this, isn't it? All right? A good example of passion under control is what? It's Samson in the Bible, isn't it? Huge, strong man. But every other woman he sees, he just goes down like that. Isn't it? Right, what a tragedy, isn't it? The fifth P is the purse. Isn't it? What do you put in a purse? Your boss's photograph. What do you put in a purse? Manila, amen? Hello? Am I right? Do you put money in a purse or not? What do you put? I know this lady puts her husband's photograph in a purse. You know? And whenever she faced a real challenge, she would take her purse out, look at the photograph very carefully and said, no challenge can be bigger than this challenge. She says, Pastor, I use this to encourage myself. Lah. My husband is okay. I just encourage myself. I'm going to slap her. No. Listen, my friends, what do you put in a purse? Money. Isn't it? Unaccountable in our use of money. Not transparent. Not honest. Very important for all of us. Every one of us, isn't it? Including myself. Every single cent must be accounted for. Every single cent. Very important. For the Lord's sake, for our sake, and for the future's sake, for our family's sake. And a good amen for that. One final P is practices. Practices, especially later in life. Not early in life. Because early in life, we are diligent, we are faithful, okay? We are really, really determined, devoted to our responsibilities. We are faithful in keeping God's word. Read scripture every day, do daily devotion, pray, and do all kinds of stuff. And God is gradually moving us on and on and on and on. And we become better and better, more mature, making good and wise decisions and everything else. Friends, it is later in life, church, later in life that you and I must watch out. Why is that? Because sometimes later in life, when we are so good, so smart, and so clever, and so wise, as it were, you know what happens, friends? We can begin to cut corners, to take some shortcuts. Why do I need to read the Bible every day? Why? I know the Bible true and true. Why do you still need to come to read the Bible? Why do you need to pray? I pray so much prayer. I said, even God is tired of my prayer. Why do I need to pray anymore? Isn't it? We begin to slowly, slowly rationalize and excuse ourselves from certain things. But friends, it is little by little. Everything starts small, little by little. And before you realize it, there can be a big hole in your backyard. And then we are trapped. And it's too late. Isn't it? Perfect example we see in Scripture is King Solomon. Isn't it? So wise, so brilliant. God even appeared to him twice, as you know. And when God appeared to him the first time, God said to Solomon, what is it you want as a young little lad? As a young lad, what is it you want? Anything you want. It's literally a carte blanche. And what did Solomon ask God? Solomon says, God, give me wisdom. Wisdom to rule your wonderful people. I need all the wisdom to take care and rule your people. And God was not only so pleased with his ask that God gave him wealth and power and position, everything else, so he became the richest man on earth, as it were. That all kinds of people come and leap from his palm and leap from his wisdom and everything else. You know, he was well known and everything else. But what happens when near the end of his life? The Bible again records very frankly to all of us, okay, in this manner. It's in 1 Kings chapter 11, and this is the record that we see here. The Word of God tells us like this about King Solomon near the end of his life, okay? 1 Kings 11, and in verse 3, it says here, he had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines. No, I mean concubines. And his wives led him astray. Imagine, near the end of his life, 700 wives of royal birth. Crazy, isn't it? Must be a tired man. Madness. Imagine, friends, Solomon wrote 3 books of the Bible. You know that? To this day, we glean its wisdom. It's amazing insights. Song of Songs, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Not only that, he even contributed to a psalm in the book of Psalms. But look at him near the end of his life. What a pathetic picture of himself like this, isn't it? Why? I believe it's this. Because it gets to his head. I'm so smart, so wise, so clever. And slowly, slowly, he started to compromise. Little by little. Take one more wife, second wife, third wife, fourth wife. And that's the end of it. So the Bible tells us very frankly in verse 4, his wives turned his heart away from God. What a tragedy, isn't it, friends? And that's what I'm trying to say. And let me wrap this out now. I can talk about all the six P's and maybe talk to you convincingly. But friends, can I say, it does not mean now I'm spared from it. It does not mean that I'm okay. Friends, can I say, no one is okay. Hello? Are you there? No one is okay. So pray for me as I pray for you. Is it okay? Pray for me as I pray for you. That's what we need. Holding one accountable, responsible. Can't you remind one another six P's? Can't you remember in our decision making we should honor God, love God, serve God, and glorify His name? Is it okay? When is it okay? When is a six P's over for you? Friends, the simple answer is this: when you die, lah. Right now. It is only when we are dead, then this six P's will not affect us anymore. But friends, as long as we're in the flesh, as long as we're in this world, no one is spared. No matter how mature, no matter how wise, how smart, how clever, like Solomon, friends. Amen. So what is it that God wants to help us in our decision making? His purpose is to teach faithfulness. But more than faithfulness, it is also fruitfulness, because this God is an amazingly good God who wants to bless and prosper us. Give a good amen for that. But in order to ensure that we'll be fruitful all the way to the end as we are faithful to Him, friends, guard the six P's. Hold hands together and let's run this race and hold one another accountable so that by the grace of God, we will finish well and glorify His name. Amen. Let us pray. With our heads bowed and eyes closed. Before I pray for all of us, that we be wise in decision making. Maybe there's some of us here who have not yet known Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You have not personally encountered Him. My friend, you are here because God wants you to know He loves you. You are special. You are really special. And that's why He has brought you here, to let you know He loves you and He wants to step into your life and make a wonderful difference. My friend, make this the greatest of all days. You have never taken a step of faith to trust Him. It's a very simple step of faith in saying yes to Jesus, to acknowledge you're a sinner, and all of us are sinners. Every one of us, including me, we're all sinners because we're all done wrong. Secondly, to believe in Him, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He and He alone without sin. He went to the cross to die for our sins. Thirdly, to ask Him to forgive us of our sins. And fourthly, invite Him into our life as Lord and Savior. So four simple steps. Acknowledge, say that we're a sinner. Believe He died on the cross for me, for my sins. Thirdly, ask Him to forgive me of my sins. And fourthly, invite Him to life as Lord and Savior. And when we take that step, a step of faith, we become a child of God. And it's amazing. God steps into your life and He begins to make radical difference as you surrender, submit yourself to Him and walk with Him. He will give you wisdom, insights, and understanding increasingly as you walk a life of faithfulness. He will bless you and prosper you, my friend. And so therefore, with heads bowed and eyes closed, you've never taken a step of faith, but this morning you want to say yes to Jesus. At the count of three, wherever you're seated, would you raise up your hand high so I can see your hand? I want to pray for you. Wherever you're seated, at the count of three, you want to say yes to Jesus. Raise your hand high, I want to pray for you. Are you ready? One, two, and three. Is anyone here? Can I see your hands? Firstly, downstairs. Is anyone here? Keep your hands high up so I can see your hand. I want to pray for you. Yes, thank you. Anybody else? All right, anybody else? Okay, all right at the back there. Yes, another one. Okay, all right. Anybody else? Okay, ushers, I hope you'll take note. Okay, anybody else? Okay, what about this side here? Is anyone? Yes, thank you. Another hand. Thank you. Anybody else? All right, yes, thank you. All right, okay. What about upstairs, up in the gallery? Is anyone? Thank you. One hand over there. Anybody else? Okay, this is a precious moment. God is here, my friend. All right, He wants to step into our lives and make a wonderful difference. Anybody else? Okay, over this side, yes, another hand. All right, over this side, up in the gallery. Anybody else? Okay, all right, keep your hands high up so I see. I want to pray for ushers. Another one. Okay, ushers, thank you for helping me. Anybody else? Well, those who put up their hands, would you say this prayer after me? All right, say this prayer aloud after me. Church, will you, whole church, will you join in the Holy Spirit, encourage these wonderful people? Say after me together, Lord Jesus Christ, thank you and praise you for your love for me. Lord Jesus, I want to say that I'm a sinner. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. Please forgive me of my sins. Right now, I invite you to come into my life, to be my Lord and my Savior. Take control over my life. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and your love and power, and enable me to live as a Christian, as a child of yours from today onwards. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, seal it in the hearts of those who pray this prayer. Lord, you know every heart, every person, every life who has prayed this prayer sincerely. You know it all, oh God. Whether they put up their hands or not, you know it all. And so, Holy Spirit, seal it deep in every heart, every life who prayed this prayer for the first time. And bring to pass, Lord, new life and new birth in an exciting manner. Lead them on to know you, grow in you, live for you, and glorify your name. Bless them in faith and in faithfulness so they will see, oh God, I pray, Father, fruitfulness and abundance in the coming days. So bless all these precious people, Father, I pray. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Well, for those who put up their hands, all right, including those who didn't put up their hands, but you prayed this prayer, can I invite you to come to the front here? We're here to help one another. Is it okay? Ask us, could you help me to walk them down? All right? We're here to help, okay? It is not to embarrass you. Why? Because it's like a newborn baby. Right? We always want to help newborn babies so that to help you to be part of the life of the church and help you to grow together so that you become strong followers of Jesus Christ. Amen? He wants to build us all up in a wonderful way. And so those who prayed this prayer, whether hands up or not, would you come? Ask us, help them to come to the front here. Give them all a big hand, would you? All right? Wonderful big hand. Okay, lead them up to the front, all right? Shall we stand together? As we stand together, lead them to the front. Friends, would you put up hands? Would you come? We're going to pray for you and help you along. Share with you just a few minutes only. Share with you some materials. Pray for you some more and help you along. Would you just come? Before I pray for all of us, friends, I just sense that some of us are important. It's an important, right, time of our life where we make decisions and important decisions. Some of us, I just sense you've got critical decisions you have to make. Decision about your future, decision about relationship, decision, friends, about job and everything else. Would you come? We're going to pray for you. Decision even about your business. Important, critical decisions. Would you come, friends? We're going to pray for you. Some of you, you're just wondering to enter the relationship or not to enter the relationship. Would you come? We're going to pray for you, friends. Very, very important. Just saying, some of us, we are wrestling in a whole relationship with our loved ones. It may be with our children. It could even be with our parents, whoever. Will you come? We're going to pray. Right, pray for you, friends. Some of us are wrestling with our health issues. We've got health issues. Come as well, friends. We've seen amazing, amazing power of God at work in healing us. Whatever it is, whether downstairs, up in the gallery, will you come? Staircases on both sides. Come down, all right? We're here to pray for you, here to help one another, friends. We are a family, and a family always seeks to help, okay, and build one another up, friends. So whatever your concerns, your needs, just come, friends. Maybe say to your neighbor next to you, can I walk you down for prayer? It'll be great. It'll be wonderful, friends. So just come, church, with you. Just as many, just come as the worship team leads us. All right? Allow the team to pray for you. Thank you, Lord. Friends, will you come? Just keep on coming, friends. Yes, friends, come. Come and, okay, take communion in this step, friends. Just reach out and allow God's grace to be at work in a wonderful manner, friends. Just come, keep on coming, friends. I have decided to follow Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, friends, just come with us. Just come and know the grace of God, know the mercies and goodness of God, friends. Just come. Thank you, Lord. Ministry team, can you come? Right? Ministry team, men and ladies, you will come and pray for these people up front. Yeah, just come. We're doing a number of ladies over this side, all right? Over to the right-hand side. Just come and pray. Oh, just sense that there's someone here who is going through deep grief in your life. Very, very deep grief. And you've come here this morning wondering, does God know? Does God understand what I'm going through? And my child, God is saying to you, come. Come and allow me to touch your life. Come and allow me to walk into your life to make a difference. And this God says, my child, I know your grief. I know the brokenness that is in you. Yes, I want to step in and make a difference. Would you allow God to do that? So just come and be prayed for, friends, that the grace of God will be released upon your life in a wonderful, wonderful manner indeed. So whatever your situation, your issue, friends, you do come. As I say, some of us are going to important decision-making, friends. Don't make decisions only by yourself. Seek others, seek wisdom, seek counsel, seek the Lord, seek prayer. Come here for prayer as well. We're here to journey and help you along as well, friends. That's what we're here for each other's success, friends. That's what we're here for. So, friends, as I close in prayer, just as many, just come with you. Just come, we're gonna pray for you. Ministry team, we're gonna pray for these people. We need many of you around. Ladies and men, would you come and pray for these people out front here? All right, as I close in prayer. And just, I wanna pray for wisdom for all of us making good, wise decisions. Whatever decisions you're making, I wanna pray for God to give us wisdom, because the Bible says to us, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask. All right, and so I'm going to ask for all of us, for wisdom, for every one of us, so that we'll make good decisions, sound judgments. Amen. You say, would you raise up a hand before God? Let me pray. Our Father, we come before you, Lord. We're going to thank and praise you that you are a good and a wonderful and amazing God. We stand in awe of you, Father. Our hearts go up to you in gratitude and thanksgiving, oh God, that you have drawn us to yourself, oh God, and that you are a generous and a good and amazing God. And you will pour out, oh God, Father, whatever we ask of you. And your word says to us, he who lacks wisdom, let him ask. And so, Father, I ask right now, oh God, in Jesus' name, Father, that you'll give every one of us your wisdom generously. Give us a double portion of wisdom, oh God, I pray, so that we know how to, Father, I ask, make good, wise, oh God, sound decisions and judgments, oh God. So that, Father, I pray, oh God, you will keep us in, you will keep us in the faith, oh God, I pray, so that we will continue, oh God, to do that is right and pleasing before you. Guard us from temptation, oh God. Guard us from compromise. Even guard us, Father, oh God, from rationalizing, our Father, certain things, oh God, to try to get away from it, to take the easy path, easy way out, oh God. Guard our hearts, Father, I pray, oh God. Keep us close to you. Oh God, although it may be difficult and challenging, but we know you're stretching us and making us strong in the process, oh God. So Father, give us wisdom, boldness, and courage to make good, wise, strong, and solid decisions for you, so that your name will always be glorified, oh God, so that your kingdom advance, so that we will grow and mature increasingly, oh God, to be wise, to be faithful, and therefore in the process, fruitful for you, for your kingdom, Father, I pray. So bless us all, oh God, I pray, in every way indeed. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord may his face shine upon you, be gracious towards you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his perfect peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. We give a big hand right to the Lord himself. Church, God bless all of you. Have a great, great week ahead, okay? We'll see you next weekend, okay? God bless you all.